Hi, everyone. My name is DP.
And I'm Allison.
And you're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Today, we have a very good show to present to you. There is a short documentary that is out on YouTube called Handler is Crazy. This 30-minute film is also in an audio format, as well as that is what we're going to be airing later on this show. However, first, Allison and I would like to play an interview we conducted with Olivia Dressinger. She is the creator of this short film, Handler is Crazy, and we asked her what the film is about and how long it took to complete it and so much more. So here's the interview with Olivia.
Who is Olivia Dressinger?
Well, I'm a sick, young, independent scholar and activist. I've been trying to find other hobbies outside of disability activism lately, but I have to say my interests are pretty focused at this point.
You have a short documentary out, which is also an audio documentary format. Can you explain what is Handler is Crazy all about?
So Handler is Crazy, it's a short documentary. It's about half an hour, and it follows Coyote Moon and her medical and psychiatric service dog, Banner. The film explores issues surrounding non-visible disabilities and discrimination against service dog teams. And Banner and Coyote also cosplay together, which was something I was really interested in from when I first heard about them.
How did you meet Coyote, who is the person you follow in this film?
I like how this happened, actually. I find it really funny. My friend had sent me Coyote's Instagram page. Well, technically it's Banner's Instagram page that Coyote, you know, manages. And I originally thought that Coyote was a furry, since most of her posts at the time were of her service dog Banner in different fan costumes. And for people out there who don't know what the furry fandom is, it's a community of people who enjoy drawing or dressing up or writing about animal characters who have human-like traits. And at the time, I had been researching the intersections between the furry fandom and disability for a presentation. So I DM'd Coyote and asked her if she was a furry, and she got back to me and she said no, she wasn't part of that subculture, but she liked it. And then after that initial point of contact, I started looking more closely at Banner as a service dog and became really interested in how cosplay was an atypical labor that her service dog was performing for her, as well as the sort of atypical form of medical equipment decoration. Needless to say, the film didn't really touch much on those parts. Like in the end, since we didn't have a lot of time to film and get to know her, we only had funding for about 10 days of filming. But I kind of want to write a paper on that somewhere down the line. And yeah, that's kind of like how I met her. And then I just talked to her a bit more. And then I asked her, hey, like, if I found funding somehow, would you like let me document your life? And she said yes, and we got funding, and we went over to Menlo, Georgia, which is a town of 500 people, and it's 2 hours outside of Atlanta. And yeah, so it was she's got a large like social media fan base, and it's kind of funny because she lives in a town of like zero people.
Oh wow.
but she's got quite, you know, a good influence on other service dog users and teams.
Okay, so you touched on a funding. Can you explain what that funding is?
Yeah, this is my first funding I've ever gotten. I got a grant from Canada Council for the Arts. I'm a trained academic, so I had that kind of skill set going for me, but I've never, you know, done grant applications before.
Right.
So I was really happy that they decided to fund me. Canada Council has kind of like different categories, and I think they've been funding disability related projects like quite well in the past few years. So I think that also helped that I was trying to contribute to that area.
What interested you to focus on the service dog team and then do a film about it?
Well, I mean, again, it's just my friend had sent me their page. I had just come out of my master's, and I had done a documentary, like a 3D animation documentary about disability in fan fiction. So when I saw that this was like a service dog team and they were, you know, disabled and in fandoms, I then became really interested in service dog teams.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. And then I haven't known any service dog users where I live. It's a very, I would say, like, kind of unknown area.
Yeah.
In Canada, people are really not sure about, like, how do you get one? Can you own or train? Is certification actually, like, real? Or is it a scam? Like, you know, these sorts of things. And I saw an area for me to kind of provide some more information on that.
So you kind of touched on it earlier, but what were some challenges you had while doing this film?
Definitely the biggest challenge was working with a primarily non-disabled crew. Mm-hmm. I mean, as the grant holder, it was up to me, obviously, to hire people. And in my kind of funding grant package, I said I'd prioritize hiring disabled people, but I tried, and the only people I could find were non-disabled people to kind of come over with me to film, which was, you know, it proposed challenges. Like, I didn't know them very well, and I wasn't sure how much to disclose to them about my own chronic illnesses. And I did budget for a personal assistant for access things, to do things like cook the meals, do all the driving, do the dishes, shop for groceries, because we were traveling to a new place, and I wanted to ensure that I could focus all my energy on directing and just making sure I didn't get too sick during the trip. And I'd say I definitely had a lot of my access needs the first half of filming, but the second half did get a lot smoother once I had a better working relationship with the crew and was more vocal that, yes, I'm actually sick. I don't look sick, but I'm sick, and I really need things to be a certain way. On the other hand, I have to say, working with Coyote and Banner and her daughters and family, it was really easy. We both have a lot of overlaps in our personal lives, so I think I really understood her story and knew what and how I wanted to tell it.
What did you learn from doing this film?
I mean, I did learn a lot about service dogs, but I had been researching it, so I didn't, like, it wasn't a steep learning curve at that point, but I think what I did learn was how to make films without ever having to hold the camera. like, before I became more sick, I always held the camera as a photographer, as a way to control what I wanted to make and to feel like the sole author of things. Now, though, working with any illness kind of changes your practice and how you have to do things. Like, I have to work with others. I have to work through them and with them and beside them. Before, it's always just been me and the subject, which I find to be an easy relationship. Like, working with Coyote was, like, really, really easy for me. But then managing a crew was not so easy for me, just because I had to, you know, I had to manage and make sure multiple people were okay on set and also make sure I was looked after as well. This came up in the editing process, but I had to really learn about what parts of the story not to tell.
Right.
So there's, like, a lot of extra footage that we shot with Coyote's daughters in it, who are very young. I mean, the oldest one is 10. And I felt really weird about including it in the final cut, since they're just too young to really consent to their personal information being publicly out there, like, forever, perhaps.
Yeah.
Ethically, it made me, like, really uncomfortable, and I didn't want to, like, you know, cause harm to them down the road. But it's, like, it's kind of weird, because if you talk to other documentary makers, typically they want some sort of big event or crisis to happen in order to structure the story around and to push the story along. And yeah. I wasn't really interested in that kind of filmmaking or that kind of storytelling.
No, that...
That totally makes sense,
yeah, because the focus is on the individual and the service talks. You don't want anything else.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't... make sense to the story. It didn't. I didn't need to include to bring them into the story in that way. They're still there and present in their mom's life, but I didn't want to go into things that were sensitive for them. And they're just so young, so it's just like they just don't know what kind of like effects this could have on them later. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I care about them, so
of course.
I feel very protective about them now, and I just want to be respectful about how I show their life and document it.
Yeah, so on that note, I guess my question would be, how was it the filming around kids? Because, you know, these cameras are following them, so like, how was their reaction?
Well, they weren't school most of the time. We kind of scheduled the filming days that we'd come in the morning and just film Coyote, and then we'd have some time with the kids in the afternoon again, like when they came back from school. Georgia has like a different school week. They don't go to schools on Mondays.
Which I
found was really weird. And they leave really early in the morning because they eat breakfast at school. So they
quite
leave
different.
Around like, it's very different. They leave at, like, they get picked up by a bus at, like, 7 a.m. and then have breakfast and stay there and then get home around 3. So I think the kids were excited, though, to be on film. It wasn't actually very difficult for them to participate. As long as they were together, we tried to do sit-down interviews with all of them, and that became, you know, like, they weren't as comfortable then just because they didn't know us as well. Not to say that they were, like, deeply uncomfortable or anything, but I think they were more hesitant or shy to kind of talk, like, answer the things that I wanted to know. And, you know, at that point then I realized, like, yeah, we're only here a total of 10 days to get to know, like, Coyote and, like, the kids. Like, it doesn't really make sense for me to try to source this information from them or make them participate in this way.
What are you hoping that people get out of this short documentary of yours?
I just want people to learn more about service dog teams, because when I was starting to learn about it, it made me really excited. And I mean, there's content out there about guide dogs, but not much about service dogs for like PTSD or anxiety, diabetes, epilepsy, for instance. As I mentioned earlier, people also aren't too sure about what policies are in place for service dog users. Like people just like, they don't know what the differences are between therapy dogs or emotional support animals and service dogs, and what rights each of them hold and what spaces they're allowed to be in. Like, you know, can, if you're a tenant, can you have a service animal with you, or an ESA, or, you know, a therapy animal, or which ones are you allowed to bring into businesses or on the plane, that sort of thing. Something I wasn't able to get into too much in the film was service dog etiquette, but I figure there's other content out there that covers that topic, kind of like letting people know that they shouldn't be petting or distracting people's service dogs or asking them unwanted questions or treating them like a spectacle. During film, we weren't really able to naturally capture those types of interactions.
Right.
Since the crew, like, we were always a few steps behind Coyote, so I think that probably deterred people from approaching us. I think the most, actually, we encountered, we were filming at a convention with Coyote and two of her friends who are also service dog users. And one of her friends, she's an ambulatory wheelchair user, and some celebrity guest that we were talking to, he asked her if she could walk. Which was, like, really weird.
Yeah.
And, like, totally inappropriate. And, you know, she was just trying to talk to him about, like, his movies and work and stuff. And then he's just like, yeah, so I have to ask, can you walk? And she's like, what? So that was weird. But I didn't put it in the final film because it just didn't fit very well. But it's in the extra footage. So,
how long did the documentary take to complete?
Well, we did two separate trips over to Georgia. We went at the end of September last year for 5 days, and then we returned, I said September, right? Yeah, and then we returned at the end of December or the beginning of December stories and filmed for another 5 days. That's when filming was completed, and then it took up until, I guess, like the end of July to kind of have the full edit done. I was editing it, and then my partner did the music, and then I had to wait on other things like someone to do the color of the film, which it took, that took the longest probably. Yeah. So it took like a year.
Yeah. And yeah. What was Coyote's thought when you completed the film?
I was talking to her throughout the entire editing process because I was just really, you know, I was concerned. Like, there's things that she kind of had talked about in the sit-down interview that I conducted with her, and I was just like, are you really comfortable about this, like, being in the documentary? Like, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, you're saying, yes, you're comfortable about it, but, like, I don't know. Like, I was really checking in with her a lot of the time, and right. I decided at the end, like, to remove some of the footage because even though she's consenting to it, I knew that maybe she it fit uncomfortably with her later. And even now, she, you know, she really does like the documentary, but it's hard for her to watch. It makes her feel really vulnerable all over again. And right. she is really happy that it exists, and she's happy that her friends and kind of fans are sharing it and appreciating her story. But I know it's a difficult story for her to tell.
Of course. So. Will you be working on any other projects next? So, like, can you tell us anything what you will be working on next?
I'm just trying to go to grad school, hopefully next year. So I'm applying for my PhD. I guess this next year I'll just be kind of really focusing on my health just so I'm stable enough to be a student again. Mm-hmm. And I'm also planning on writing on chronic illness, so it'll be a mentally taxing 5 years of work and research. like even now I'm kind of putting together a proposal and, you know, writing and looking at chronic illness while being chronically ill. It's hard because I have to keep, like, a good distance from it, but I'm also writing on it because it personally affects me. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now after this documentary.
Last but not least, is there anything you would like to say to our listeners?
You can watch the documentary, too. I have the audio-described version, which you'll be playing. And you can also check out some of my past projects, like my Accessible as Your Event Guide, which outlines how to make higher education events accessible to disabled people. Mm-hmm. And you can also check out my other film, Disabled! Exclamation point, on disability and fan fiction, which is also up on YouTube.
I watched the documentary, and it was really well done. I liked ending that you kind of told us what happened after the documentary on a coyote, and unfortunately, one of her dogs couldn't do the service job anymore, like the service dog job anymore, so that was too bad. But I liked how you kind of gave us an update at the end, so that was awesome.
Yeah, and with that point about her service dog in training yeah. being kind of taken out of training, that's yeah. also a maybe a PSA I can end on or something, that, like, you know, if you're bringing your pets or animals into public spaces where there's service dog teams, like, you know, you can't, like, if your pets are not trained well around other animals, like, maybe please don't bring them into public businesses, because service dog teams often do get attacked by other dogs, and then they can't work anymore, and then that puts, you know, that disabled person further at risk, right. That they don't have that mobility or that freedom anymore when going outside of the house.
Thank you so much, Olivia.
Thank you, Thank Olivia. You. And welcome back to CITR FM 101.9 in Vancouver and to All Access Pass. The interview you just heard was with Olivia Dressinger, and her documentary, Handler is Crazy. Again, this film is on YouTube
So go check it out there.
Now we are going to hear the audio documentary of Handler is Crazy. Hope you all enjoy this 30-minute narrative film.
Discretion advised. Film includes discussions of PTSD, childhood abuse, and sexual abuse. Black screen.
I know I'm crazy. I've been crazy for a long time. I've been broken for a long time. I don't know what normal is. This is normal for me.
A white woman, Coyote, sits on a bed with a light gray husky.
All the way.
Coyote gestures for the dog Banner to lie down.
Now.
Banner spins around in circles before lying down.
You're drawing this out. Thank you. She's like a child.
Handler is crazy. The camera lingers on objects around the house. Fridge magnets of two young girls and a husky puppy. A painting of a husky. A dog trophy. A service dog harness.
Crazy to me is just being not normal. Like, you do something and people raise their eyebrow at you and just look at you. Like something's wrong. But you didn't really do anything that you think is out of the ordinary. It was normal to you. Like, I fall down sometimes. My leg will go out. So I just fall down and it's no big deal. And then I get back up. And everyone just looks at me like I'm crazy. And you get the looks for having a service dog too. And that's why I prefer to cultivate resting bitch face, lest people bother me. I don't really recommend a service dog for if you have like really bad social anxiety, because people will bother you.
Menlo, Georgia. Outside a white house, a stray orange cat lounges on the porch. Another cat, Black, cleans its fur.
I have three daughters. Aiden Halo is 10. Mercy Gray is 8. And Bambi Meadow is 6. I have 5 animals. We have Banner, the husky, who is my psychiatric and medical service dog. We have Smeagol, who is training to be a service dog to take over for Banner in a few years. We have Lance, the kid's rabbit. Shadow Cat is my first bottle baby. And we also are fostering and training Z for someone else's service prospect.
Midday. Banner stares out a bedroom window.
I thought I was supposed to run Zephyr.
She can exercise. As long as it's got this on.
Okay. Okay. Come on! Do you want me to run?
You can go down there, but then come back up.
Round me with my bike.
Bambi runs with Smeagol down a rural country road. Aiden, Mercy, and Bambi run the dogs. Aiden works with Z, a German shepherd.
A friend of mine I met through Banner's page. We've been friends for about 2 years. She needed help training her prospect, and she also asked me to help her find a prospect, which I found Z. The kids help, that way he can get used to working with someone besides me. Banner won't work with anyone but me, so I wanted to make sure I could pass him off to his owner with no issues. Aiden has a bit more experience, so I have her usually do, after I work with him, I have her work with him.
Down. Down. sit. Z.
Mercy works with Z.
Mercy tries. She's just not as assertive or confident yet. And she loves him to death, so she'll have a little bit of a problem when he leaves.
Coyote sits on the pavement with Z and gestures for him to lay across her legs.
He's doing DPT on my leg. His owner also has a bad leg. DPT is deep pressure therapy. The weighted blankets, like the extra weight, can help relieve pain or anxiety. The extra pain on my knee or upper thigh can help get just a little bit of pressure, and it just makes it feel better. And other people have the same issues, and that's why they have a bigger service dog, for the weight. And he's 5 months old, and he's already heavy enough to make an impact.
Coyote Petsy. Banner stands beside them. Bambi carries a pair of crutches and hands them to Coyote. Coyote walks towards her house on crutches. Aiden rides a bike in the driveway. Aiden talks to the camera.
I help Mama train Z and sometimes Smeagol and Banner. Banner is Mama's service dog, which she has been trained 2 years. And if you'll tell her to sit, stay, do whatever, she'll do it. She knows hand, paw, fist, and shake, and high five.
I have a problem with medication. Pills don't work for me. My body actually becomes immune to them, and I have to keep upping my dosage until it's at scary levels. And I found out through an internet friend that service dogs could help with like PTSD and anxiety and stuff. And I thought, hey, it might be something I need to look into, because I also don't like taking medicine. Banner performs a lot of tasks that mitigate my disability. And that's technically what makes her a service dog. She alerts to anxiety attacks and PTSD episodes. She alerts to migraines. She does guide work when I can't see or I need her to take me somewhere. I can tell her to take me and she will. She does light mobility. Basically, she keeps walking and the momentum helps me keep walking. She does blood pressure alert. She'll remove me from crowds. She body blocks and keeps a space around me when it's too crowded. She lets me know when someone's behind me, because that is a trigger for my PTSD. When I'm having trouble standing, she will stand between my legs and she keeps me kind of even so that I don't fall over. I've never really seen a dog quite like her. She cares, but there's also, hey, we're friends. Don't push it.
Fade to black. Coyote assembles a wheelchair with special levers. Coyote pushes herself into the road.
He doesn't like hills.
This is a freedom chair by Grit. I have a hard time using the normal wheelchairs. If I push on the wheels like this, it hurts my back. So I thought this was a good alternative. But I move the levers, and it takes me forward. And the third wheel is for stability and helps in more off-road settings, like bumpy dirt, grass.
I use it mostly for conventions or outings where I'm going to be standing for too long and I can't handle it. But I can go really fast when the floor is flat. Like they told me, Michael Rosenbaum had just shown up at his table. And I said, Aiden, throw everything on the back. Let's go. And we were over there in just a few minutes. Motivation. But I think in a year or so, my arms will be like that from using this thing.
Coyote wheels to the end of the road. Banner follows her. They turn around and speed back down the road, demonstrating how to use the wheelchair. The wheelchair comes to a halt.
I have a metal rod in my leg that goes from my hip to my knee. And those are my lovely scars that I've had since I was 12. They used to jut out like that, but now they're pretty much flat. A four-wheeler accident, I shattered 3 inches of bone. So they put the rod in my leg. And now it causes my leg to be unstable. And it'll go out for no reason at all. And it's really just a pain.
Banner the Super Dog, written by Coyote, illustrated by Hollow Husky.
Mercy reads a book outside on the lawn.
Banner was chosen to be a service dog for invisible disabled. Service dogs are working dogs that help disabled people with normal lives. PTSD is what her partner snuffled for. PTSD caused people to remember and live through bad times in their life. It is kind of like having a nightmare and not being able to wake up. You cannot see it on the outside. It hides inside the mind. Just because someone looks okay on the outside does not mean that they are okay on the inside.
Coyote and Bambi lay on the grass playing on their phones. Mercy and Banner run past. Annoyed, Coyote gets up.
I have PTSD, but I'm not military. I have what is called non-combative PTSD. My childhood was not good. My mother is an abusive piece of shit. She had undiagnosed bipolar and a whole bunch of other things. But I was called really horrible names. Like at 4, I didn't know what hot pants was. I didn't know what a whore was. I didn't know what bitch was, but that was what I was called. She started hitting me, especially in the head. She liked to hit me in the head. I think that's one reason my migraines are so bad. But I remember her hitting me with the saxophone so hard the keys flew off. And the older I got, the worse it got. Like, I know my mom had a lot of mental illnesses, but she was also a bad person on top of that. The PTSD comes from all the physical abuse, emotional abuse, it started with her and then it grew with life experience. Like, my stepdad got drunk when I was 11 and he crawled in my bed. And I told her about it because it was wrong and I knew it was wrong and I didn't understand. And she beat the hell out of me then too.
Fade to black. Cosplay. Bambi, Aiden, and Mercy sit together on a grassy hill, wearing different cosplay outfits. Mercy walks down the road to join her family in a cosplay photo shoot. She is dressed as Wonder Woman.
The kids got into cosplay because they saw me do it with Banner, and they thought it would be fun.
And I like that they want to do costumes and stuff more than other activities. I like it too. And they like being the centers of attention and do the photography. Except Bambi. Bambi don't care. Bambi just wants to wear the costume and run around.
Aiden poses with Banner, both dressed as Deadpool. Coyote takes pictures.
Turn your head. Take away your pose.
Hold it up to your face where I can see the ashes.
Aiden performs cartwheels, now dressed as Spider-Gwen. Coyote and Bambi take pictures of her. Mercy stands off to the side watching.
Anything else you want to do? Can you do a cartwheel and then land facing me? Ready?
Yeah.
No. Bambi joins her.
I found a little black dress. All models have a little black dress. And we think the Celine Dion thing is hilarious with Deadpool. So we want to do Dogpool in a dress and make it Celine Dion-y.
Coyote puts a black tutu on Banner.
Yeah, she already knows what we're doing.
Coyote pulls the Deadpool mask over Banner's face and adjusts the costume.
Stay.
Coyote takes pictures of Banner.
Stay. Stay. Good.
I'll watch her when the costume comes off.
Freedom.
Freedom, Mama.
Freedom.
Photos of Banner in different fan costumes are displayed.
Banner doing the cosplay stuff actually happened by accident. I noticed that people were more interested in her costumes than her actual work. So I started picking characters that had problems, like Wolverine has PTSD, severe PTSD. And I thought by using characters with disabilities like I have, that I could help people read more into it. Like, you know he's got it, but you know, you don't really think about it. And it kind of sticks with them a little bit just because they saw a picture of a dog wearing a costume. This is my happy book. I have most of my autographs and pictures are in here, from where I met my favorite celebrities. I usually keep my service dog letter on me. We don't have to show them. It's no one's business, honestly, what our private medical history is, even though everyone wants to ask about it. I take it to conventions and hotels and when flying, because they can ask for it. And my doctor is actually really cool. He let me write it mostly, and then he approved it, and then he put his piece on it and signed it. And no matter, even without this, if she didn't have all the training, she still wouldn't be a service dog. The training makes the dog more than this does. To whom it may concern, Whitney Braley is my patient and suffers from PTSD, anxiety, migraines, and mobility issues. I'm aware of her history and with the functional limitations imposed by her emotional mental health related issues. Due to these disabilities, Whitney has certain limitations coping with what would otherwise be considered normal but significant day-to-day situations. To help alleviate these changes and to enhance her day-to-day functionality, I have prescribed Whitney to keep her service dog. The presence of this animal is necessary for the mental and physical health of Whitney because its presence and trained tasks will mitigate the symptoms she is currently experiencing.
A small black dog pulls on a leash. A border collie service dog is put in a sit position. Coyote attends a fan convention with two other service dog teams. They wheel around in the crowded venue. Celebrities. Photo ops. Coyote and her friends pose for photographs with different celebrities and guests. Coyote holds a Michael Rooker blanket up to the camera.
I love Michael Rooker and he loves my blanket. It keeps me warm all night.
Coyote sits on a Star Wars speeder bike. Two stormtroopers stand on either side, posing for a photo.
The service dogs, these two are amazing. There's lots of people in this place. There's lots of noise. There's chaos going on everywhere. They are very professional, very well-behaved. Especially for Huskies, they're amazing. They're amazing, and they're beautiful at that. So very good additions to have on the bikes today. Very good additions.
The three service dog teams wheel down a hallway and into an elevator. Fade to black. Coyote and Banner are picking up the kids early from school for Mercy's birthday party. Black screen with text.
Four.
Ryan Harrison, right?
Sorry?
Did you need a permit?
No, she's a service dog.
I know, but do you have a permit?
There's no such thing as a permit. What are you talking about? Service dogs have doctor letters.
They have what?
Doctor letters. And I only have
to get... What, do you have one of those?
I don't have to show it to you, no. It's at home in a box.
If you're going to bring a dog into school, we got to be able to...
Service dogs don't need to be marked. She's been my service dog for 3 years. Never had a problem. That's against the law. I actually got law cards, which I will happily make an ADA complaint. Yes, I will.
Just have to understand, we got a lot of kids here in the school. We just have to make sure everything's justified to happen.
You might want to learn the law then.
Well, you might want to be a little bit nicer.
After the way I've been treated at this school, no.
I've never treated you anyway.
No, but when I tell you the law and you tell me I'm lying...
I didn't say you were lying.
That really ticks me off.
But coming into this school to protect these kids, that's what we're here for. Okay?
I told you the law. I told you we've been here before.
Well, I can tell you this,
what you can legally ask me is it a service dog, and what task does it perform?
I'm asking you any questions.
I'm telling you the law. Which you can break it, I don't care, because I've made ADA complaints before.
I can ask you any question I want to when it comes to protecting the kids or the public school.
Wait, some of that
okay? For legal reasons to have a service dog, you're good. That's all we were asking you. That's all
you asked for papers, which is illegal. It's an invasion of privacy and it's an invasion of my personal medical history. You can ask, is it a service dog? You can ask what task it provides, which I will happily give you a list of her 15 tasks if you would like them. I know my rights as a disabled person.
Well, that's fine. As long as the dog's friendly, it seems to be friendly.
She's well-trained. She's blocking me from that woman walking behind me because walking behind me can trigger a PTSD attack, which can end in violence. So she is protecting everyone in the school, including me.
The kids exit Menlo Elementary with Coyote and Banner. They get into a gray car.
Y'all stop. I gotta make a call to the superintendent.
Banner sits alone in the car. Coyote talks on her phone.
Hi, Alicia. I just called a few minutes ago, and I was waiting on the superintendent to call me back. Is there anyone else I can speak to? I'm not gonna let this principal's actions affect my daughter's birthday. Okay. That's fine. What I would like done, I would like you to tell him to not ever... speak to me again. This is the second time. I'm going to end up in urgent care over... I already have a migraine starting and my anxiety is high in my chest. But I would appreciate it if he doesn't even look my way, because it's... if he chest bumps me again, he's going to jail. It's a federal crime. He needs to stop it, and I do not deserve to be treated like that. I really appreciate it. I had to call you quickly because it's my daughter's birthday, and I don't want him affecting her birthday. Thank you so much, sir. I will. Thank you so much. Bye. I'm pissed, though.
I'm mad. I don't know if you could hear it, but there was a lot of... I wanted to do that. They lost Mercy. I know. They lost Bambi a few years ago. They put her on the wrong bus. She was 4. And my kids come home, no Bambi. I go up there, and I was scared because I did not know where she was, and they admitted they did not know where she was, which is terrifying. I was having an anxiety attack, but trying to keep my level low. And the principal actually kept coming up to me and chest bumping me and telling me if I couldn't trust them with my kids, I needed to go elsewhere. They know about my issues, so he was actively inciting a reaction. He kept saying he wanted to have me arrested for being upset over my child. I'll have his damn job. I'm done with him. Mr. Pickle, shove a pickle up his ass is what I'm about to do.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mercy. Happy birthday to you.
Mercy runs along a river dam. Fade to black. Sunny fall day. Aiden and Banner run through a field toward a herd of horses. Aiden chases the horses up across the field and into a small glade. The future. Bambi, Aiden, and Mercy stand on a pile of logs in front of their house. It's a late fall day.
Over here. Do one more time. Spin. Sit. Down. All the way. Up. Knee. High five. Set up.
How you set up for working?
Sun streams through a group of trees. Leaves rustle in the wind.
I trained horses and then worked with dogs, and it just kind of seeps into everything. I feel good when I'm working with a dog. And it kind of gives some stability. That's why I want to train dogs. With more experience, I want to be able to train service dogs for people that can't get them through an establishment. Like for PTSD, if you're not military, nobody cares. But rape victims, trauma victims, everything, it helps. And I want to be able to do that as well as care for the dogs. My house is not big, so it would only be like one at a time. Or maybe if I could work with more people, be able to do more. But I want to help people that I started off and I had no idea what I was supposed to do. And it took talking to people online to realize I could do it. But all the establishments turned me down. They told me, you're not a veteran, so we don't care. And unless you're diabetic, you can't get in at these places, or everything's specified on what they do. And I seem like there's a whole branch of people that are not being acknowledged for what could happen. I don't want to be a pilled out zombie. And I know a lot of people don't either. They over-medicate for PTSD. And a lot of medicine doesn't work. She works. And it's a lot better off for me, I think.
Coyote and Banner slowly walk up the road together.
Sit. Sit down. All the way. Sit.
She's tired of me.
Directed and produced by Olivia Dreisinger. Z completed his training and went to live with his new handler. Smeagol was attacked by another dog during a visit to the store. She could not continue her training as a service dog. Due to repeated issues of discrimination, the school principal was quietly released from his position at the end of the school year. Coyote and Banner continued to advocate for other service dog teams. Edited by Olivia Dreisinger. Director of Photography, Beatrice Scharf-Pierschala. Production sound by Raphael Sandler. Original music by Tristan Douglas. End credits. We acknowledge the support of the Canada Council for the Arts.
And that was the auto documentary of Handler is Crazy. Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM.
And on this note, that concludes our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed this episode. If you would like to know more about All Access Pass, you can email us at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Thank you for listening. Also, thank you to Olivia Dressinger for the awesome interview and chatting with us.
Please like our All Access Pass Facebook page. We would like more likes on that page, so like us on Facebook.
Like us. If you are on Twitter or Instagram or both, please follow All Access Pass at @access_CITR and message anytime if you want to get involved with the Accessibility Collective.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen to the full episode, you may want to re-listen to our past shows too. You can do so by going to citr.ca, click on the search box, and type All Access Pass.
Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next, and we will be back hopefully next Wednesday at 3. Hi, Grandpa. Bye, everyone.
Bye.